On this episode of American Chopper.
We're definitely dealing with boneless chicken here.
Senior continues to move forward with the business of OCC, touring the Siemens windmill plant for some inspiration for an all-electric bike.
The higher the voltage you go, the higher your top speed's going to be.
We're going high voltage.
And now, no longer affiliated with OCC, Junior and Mikey head to a gun factory to drum up business for the company that Junior's trying to build from the ground up, Paul Junior Designs.
The basic idea is we thought it was a good fit, and we're just basically seeing if you got work for us.
We brought you a windmill.
Meanwhile, the boys from OCC spend the day at Senior's cabin, helping out with an eco-friendly home project.
Me and Senior went tit for tat on the sledgehammers today.
With the Tuttle dynasty in shambles, and each struggling to forge their own path.
Now, I kind of got to get on board, earning some money, because if I don't earn money, then I'll be out in the street.
The family has never faced such uncertainty.
Doing?
How are you? Hey, Paul. Steve Connor. Nice to meet you.
We're at Siemens in Iowa, and we're just going to head in there, meet up with one of the guys in there, and just get a tour of the plant.
Up on the second one here, and you get a feel of just the size of what we're talking about with these wind turbine blades. We're actually in Fort Madison, Iowa. This is our wind turbine facility where we actually produce our Siemens wind turbine blades. If you take a look, each one of these blades is about 45 meters long. The wingspan on a 747 is 37 meters long, so each one of these wind turbine blades is actually longer than the entire wingspan of a 747. And you'll see they're actually laying the balsa wood in down here.
What are the properties of balsa wood that make you use that?
Well, it's a renewable source. You can actually regenerate a balsa forest relatively quickly, and then you just keep producing.
That makes sense.
Here, we're going to kind of see, you know, what they use to make the blades and basically just to get some kind of concept of some of the things that we can incorporate in the bike.
So the fabric, the actual fiberglass itself, becomes transparent with the...
With the resin that's in there, right. Well, the material that we use is fiberglass-injected resin. We have balsa wood in there to give it some structure. But our blades, unlike our competitors, we have it's one continuous blade, so it's seamless. You don't have to worry about putting seams together. You don't have to worry about water aggression, et cetera. So I'd say it's the best technology in the world used for the wind turbine blades. What's interesting is just one of these wind turbines is enough to power 789 homes.
This company basically is green. And the bike that we're doing actually is going to run off of batteries, which it pretty much don't get cleaner than that. It actually spans quite a bit. I'm surprised you don't put nothing more near the center, you know?
Yeah, no, it's the rigidity and the strength is just phenomenal, yeah.
And how many are on this setup that's going on? Those are the
guys. There's two.
The whole train.
The train will be about a mile, so I think it comes out to about 44. So
I tell you, the whole process is really amazing, even to the part where he clamps that in there, because there's got to be a great amount of pressure on there to hold that thing in place, and yet you're pushing against fiberglass. Yeah, I think that we can get back to the shop now and sit down with Jason and go over some of the stuff that we've looked at here and incorporate it into the bike and get building.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Is Jim Quinn coming in here or not?
This morning we're working on the Siemens bike, and I'm pretty happy about this because Siemens wants a green build, so we're going with an electric bike.
They want it made out of recycled parts. They want it to be, like, rechargeable, ran on batteries.
And what do you mean recyclable parts?
Old cars. Like, the tires are going to be made out of, like, a chewed-up bubble gum.
Are you making fun of me?
No, I'm not. I wouldn't do
Wait
that.
A second. Look at this. I'm all about green. See this? This is made from recycled mountain bike tires.
Oh, come on. There you go. I'm going to go make out with a tree. The Siemens project is going to be 100% green. It's going to be all self-containing with no emissions. And so it's the most environment-friendly bike we've ever done. I think it's kind of leaning towards futuristic, modern look.
We're on the cutting edge of technology.
And you got to go low and lean.
You have to go low. Same thing with the batteries. Batteries are going to be real heavy on this.
Low and long, probably.
And you want to keep them low and stretch, keep the center of gravity down. We don't need a motor mount. We don't need a tranny.
How many batteries do you need?
Either six or eight.
And how big are they?
They're like car-sized batteries. Basically, what the system is going to be is we take out the motor, transmission, exhaust, everything that would run a traditional bike, and we replace that with a set of batteries, a motor, and a controller. The higher the voltage you go, the higher your top speed's going to be.
We're going high voltage.
High voltage?
High voltage!
Well, what kind of speed are you looking at?
100 miles an hour.
Seriously?
Seriously. And it will have about a 55-mile range.
62 gigawatts per second.
I'm going to reach out to some of my contacts that I've made over the years of researching this and see if we can put together a system with a motor, controller, and some batteries. And once we have that, we'll be able to size everything up, get a frame on order, and figure out where this project goes from there.
But I think you've got a basic idea of what you need to do. Let's start. You can start putting that together.
With all these rules put into place, it definitely is going to impact heavily the design and the appearance of the bike. We all agreed that this bike's going to be long and low. It's going to have some like mesh paneling to it and lots of air intakes. It's going to look like something out of a movie. It's going to be very futuristic, very modern, something you haven't seen before put into a chopper.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing good. This morning, Jim and Bud from Advanced DC Motors came down with the first piece of the Siemens puzzle, and that's the motor that's going to drive the electric bike.
So this is a 20306 4001. It's a 72 to 96 volt DC series motor.
Dual shaft.
Cool, so we got a double belt drive again.
Have you guys decided if there's going to be chain or belt?
I think we're going towards chain for this, yeah. Okay. When I was calling around different manufacturers looking for equipment and things for this bike, they jumped right on board and volunteered to bring us a motor down pretty much right away. So here it is a day later, and they're down here with a motor already. We're building from the ground up, so this is the first piece of the puzzle right now.
Right. So
we got a frame coming in.
It'll be built around
the motor.
We're going
to build everything right around the motor and the battery system, actually.
Fantastic. Glad to see that these guys down here are finally starting to go to electric power, and we hope to be more of a part of the motorcycle business in the future. For output, you're looking at about 100 foot-pounds of torque at 97 volts, and you're looking at about, I would say, 20 horsepower, but remember, it's clean horsepower. It's, you know, you're gonna have gobs of torque.
The biggest difference in a DC motor versus an IC engine is a DC motor has an incredible amount of low-end torque. So you've essentially, as much current as you can put into that motor, you've got unlimited torque at basically zero RPM. So it makes for some pretty exciting acceleration rates.
I guess it's about all we need now until we start getting this thing built. You guys aren't far, so engineering support, any input is always helpful on a project like this.
You bet.
Next piece of the puzzle that we need to get in here is the frame and the batteries. Once we get the batteries and the frame in here, we can start building the sheet metal, the seat, get everything built around that, and we'll have a bike in progress.
Station 4, Jim Quinn, please come to the main lift. Thank you.
It's about time.
All right, you got your drawings and all your notes?
Yes, sir.
This morning we started working on a bike that we're doing for Siemens.
Well, I think what we should concentrate mainly is where we're putting the batteries and all that crap.
Oh, you want to get technical right away. And it's going to be a full electric bike. It's something we've never attempted here.
Once the backbone's cut out, we can use these.
Holy, and you're putting how many of them in?
Six of these.
Holy. How much do they weigh, Jim?
Each battery is going to weigh about 55 pounds.
It's a lot of weight. It's about three times the weight of a regular motor. So the bike's going to be pretty heavy, but I think that you need that many batteries to generate the speed that we want to generate.
It is really a simple system. Batteries, motor.
It's easier than a gas system.
Yeah.
Yeah, these kind of projects to me is like way out of my realm. You know, we did a bike that ran on natural gas. That was way over my head.
It's going to be a standard throttle, twist grip. You use a potentiometer in there, and the farther you twist, the faster it goes.
I think this bike is not quite as complicating as that bike was, but it is complicating. But, yeah, I just kind of oversee it to make sure that these guys are getting it done.
Nobody says they have to sit square if we just took the whole set, put it in at an angle like this, but that doesn't get us either.
Hey, Jim, what if we stack them like this?
I think we're...
246. That might work.
No, it does a whole lot. The original concept for how we were going to place the batteries isn't going to work.
Again, they can butt right up against each other.
One, two, three, four. So we kind of shuffled that around, and we come up with a better solution for it, and it's actually going to give us a lot more room to put other things that we need to put in the bike, and it's going to keep our weight down very low.
That's beautiful. You guys can start cutting whatever you're going to cut.
Hey, you got it.
Wasn't counting on it being that easy. You know, actually, we got a good jump on the bike today. We figured out exactly what we're going to do with our batteries, and we get all our tubes and everything that we need to cut off the frame. Everything cut off, everything real blended nice into the frame, which is really good. So we're going to start making up a tray for all the batteries to sit on, and then really just start, you know, placing all our parts and everything where it's got to go, where it needs to be.
No, I slept for the first time last night with the windows open.
Yeah?
Yeah. Was nice.
Today, Mikey, myself, and my manager, Tim, are in Newport, New Hampshire. And we're going to take a tour of the Stern Ruger factory and talk to him about how Paul Jr. Designs might be able to help him.
Okay, and you can see we've got a lot of different kinds of parts here. Most of the ones I see here are Ruger gun parts at this point.
Stern Ruger is a major manufacturer of high-quality guns and accessories.
Well, we're in a foundry now. You can see they melt the steel, pour it into the crucible.
I thought that by seeing how Stern Ruger products are made and the people that are involved, I can get a really good idea as to who Stern Ruger is as a company. And that in turn would really help me come up with some design ideas for them.
I used to use a chop saw to cut railing all day. So here you can see these guys wear body armor, basically.
I've done hundreds of these kind of tours for OCC in the past. This time it was more for myself, for Paul Jr. Designs. And from that perspective, it was a whole new world.
We started to communicate with you guys was, we just saw a real good fit between the brands, between what I'm doing with Paul Jr. Designs and what Ruger does. And you know, the sporting aspect of rifles and shotguns is something that we've always, you know, been really interested in. And first rifle I ever shot was a 10/22 Ruger. Then the first rifle I ever bought, and now I currently own that gun. So, yeah, you know, I mean, the basic idea is we thought it was a good fit in it. We're just basically seeing if you got work for us.
I think it's something we should take a real good look at. Yeah. We need to talk to, you know, sales and marketing a little more and see what they think of exploring the idea, but I love it.
Yep. Okay. You know, we would probably partner you up with some of our product engineers. And, you know, you guys could sit down in a room and brainstorm and maybe
talk
come up with
products.
Some creative ideas.
Okay.
So I'd like to invite you guys out to our range, and maybe we could do a little shooting this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think?
All right.
Oh, yeah,
sounds good.
That's part of the reason why we came.
Yeah.
You
know, I thought Paul Jr. Designs was a good fit for Ruger because, you know, I could come in, I could do some product redesign.
Yeah, they grouped well.
That's not bad at all. No, not at all.
Put my own twist on some of the existing brand. I think maybe I can help with some of their apparel stuff, making it a little cooler.
Yeah. Look at that.
Michael's just happens to be more on than mine.
Iron sights and quick.
Let's go shoot that 223.
Holy
you know, the future of Ruger could be good. Right now, they don't seem like they're ready for me. But, you know, you go up there, and it's never a wasted trip. I learned a few things, and you plant some seeds, and who knows, down the road, maybe they'll want to do something.
It's an awfully fun gun to shoot.
Yeah, that's it.
That's not bad.
You get it that time?
Nice. Now, this morning, we're back working on the Siemens bike. Now, there's a lot of fabrication that we're going to have to do because this bike is just, like, so different. Today, I'm going to work on framing out the air dams in the front of the bike with round bar. It's really the first sheet metal place to start on the bike. So really, I just started framing it out with the round bar and just trying to figure out exactly, you know, how big we wanted to make it, where we wanted to place it and everything.
What you doing there, Jim?
Trying to figure out how to get that off of there.
In the picture, it looks like that clip has to come around the little holder, right?
You know, first thing we had accomplished today was cutting the motor down. Turned out the motor that we were using to try and use the dual drive was going to be a little bit wide.
Look at that.
Wow.
Woohoo!
All the bearings. All right, so now the next thing to do is pull it.
There were two aluminum castings on the side that by machining that down, we were able to narrow up the motor enough to run dual chains on this inside the frame as it sits. I'll have this out in a little while. I think I got a free machine.
Duckwort?
Yeah, something like such. One of the things that we needed to do, I guess under heavy load, the batteries are going to get pretty warm, so we want to be able to direct airflow from the front of the bike through the batteries out the back of the bike. So that's why I'm making these. There's three ducts on each side of the bike, so I'm going to have six of them in the front. They're just really just some squares cut out of the sheet metal, and I'm going to fold them in and put like a wall on the top and the bottom, and then put some nice mesh behind them. And then we're going to do some LEDs behind them and everything for the finished product. Should look pretty cool.
Here's the deal, okay?
I like deals.
I've been assigned to look over this job.
Come on.
Not to touch it, but to look over it.
Now, who did that?
The horseman asked me to do that.
Oh, the head horseman?
The head horseman. I know that these guys got their hands full with all these different components on the bike, so I've been staying out of the way, but I can only do that for so long. So where are we at, dudes? I mean, this is not mounted, right?
No, Jim's making some hunches.
This is what, the reducer?
Yes, this reduces down so that when you first take off,
so you don't
it's
pull
not
wheel?
Wide open. Yeah, I don't know why. There's got to be a way to bypass that.
There's aspects of this bike that we've never had to deal with. It's just taken a lot of time to make it happen.
This is going to be the throttle.
Oh, it is.
I'm mounting this onto a plate right here.
Does that work off? What will that work off?
Yeah, I'll put a little bung here. And we'll put a cable, and the cable will just
onto the throttle.
Onto a regular throttle.
In the past, I'd be looking over certain people's shoulders just to make sure that the job got done. Oh,
yeah, Jim's already all fully aware of what he has to do.
These guys seem to have it under control. I like that, and it just makes my life easier.
So far, you got our approval. That's I got to go back and report.
Do you? Okay.
And I'll let you know.
Don't tell no lies.
All right, I'll be back.
Looking better, Jim.
Okay, right now it looks like the motor is ticked. Like,
yeah, well, that could be.
You know, this project, I'm getting really involved with it. There's a lot of technical stuff going on, a lot of engineering and trying to adapt this electric motor to the bike. So I'm really staying close to it, making sure Mike and Rick have all the help they need.
Well, you lost everything there. Yeah, we're definitely dealing with boneless chicken here.
Yeah.
So what's a boneless chicken have to do with it?
You ever see a boneless chicken? They just lay around.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I'm right on the rail here.
Are you? Yeah, I'm too wide.
Yeah, and this side, too, we're right on.
You milled the side down already.
I've taken as much out as I could, and I think your chain right up against that lip there on the inside.
Yeah, it's not going to flush, right?
Yeah. I think that's all we got. You know, we brought out the mock-up sprockets to try and get on and line up these chains, and looks like even with taking the half inch off the motor, we're still a bit tight. And from the look of that bearing, I couldn't take any more off of this side.
No, I don't think that'd be smart. We'd have a failure there. The only other choice, easy out that I see, is to just put one chain on.
What about notching the frame?
You can't, I don't know, man. I don't know if you can notch that back section. You'd have to just cut the frame and widen it. And this is all because of, what, a half inch?
Yeah, probably a half an inch.
If you had a half inch more width, it'd be good.
Yes, in here.
We really wanted to be able to run the dual chain drive on this bike. And a lot of our components were set up for that. It's as much an aesthetic look for the bike as it is function, but it's a look we really wanted to get. I wonder how much room they have from that bearing to the inside, that if I took off the inside of the casting instead of the outside
to move it
and
inboard.
Let that bearing slide farther inboard. Or whether that bearing is shouldered right up on something. You know, the first thing I did was put a call into Advanced DC. They're the guys who make the motor. Try and find out if there's any way to squeeze a little bit more width out of this. So we got to take that back apart again.
All right. Oh, I think I still got a cut from that, Jim.
There she goes. Really had to do a lot of tweaking to this Advanced DC motor to get it to fit between the rails so that we can do our dual drive system. But in the end, we were able to trim it down enough that we can still do dual drive.
I think we finally got a drive.
I think we got a drive, too.
We love it when a plan comes together.
That's the left side. The right side is going to be slightly, I think, wound up with a, like, an extra quarter inch or something in here. Okay. But I'll make up a new pattern for that one.
Okay.
This morning, I gave JQ a paper template of the mesh sides that we're going to put on the bike. He'll get those cut out, and then I'll cut out the rest of the sheet metal for the sides. And then I'll weld them all onto the round bar framing that I did yesterday. You know, again, it's a lot of time-consuming work, but we're really moving along. You know, the motor's set now, and we should be able to pick up the pace and get this thing done.
Looking good, Rick.
You like it?
Oh, yeah.
I tacked this whole piece.
Oh, on the opposite side?
On the air.
I did it that way.
Yeah, that worked out much better.
Right?
I didn't know if I could do it that way, if I'd make a mess of it, you know? But it worked, so I'm happy. Yeah, I gotta wait for Jim to cut out my other mesh frame. I know he's really busy. So in the meantime, I'm gonna start framing out the rear fender. You know, doing this bike, we're gonna spend probably damn near 2 weeks on working on it. There's just a lot of all freehand, you know, forming of everything. You know, the whole skeleton, making it a round bar like we do, and then just cover everything with sheet metal. And, you know, nothing's precise, nothing's exact measurements or anything like that. And we're just doing it as we go. Hopefully tomorrow I should get the most of it done. And I'm just looking really for Friday just to do all the finished welding.
U-turn. You know, this is more than just a golf outing. Even though I love golf, it's to kind of strengthen my relationship with the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation and possibly come up with more ways to raise money with them through their different various fundraisers. Yeah, sometimes you don't. Oh, a little bit of ground there.
Oh, okay. Well, we're about even, I'd say, right?
We are.
One fundraiser I do is I'm going out to Death Valley. And I rode a bicycle 105 miles through the desert with a bunch of people. We go out and get pledges to raise money. And the last few times I was there, I think we had 250, 300 people show up.
You know, Jim had mentioned to me while we were golfing all the different various ways that they raise funds for juvenile diabetes. And one that kind of piqued my interest was the cycling out in Death Valley. And I had a local little art gallery of some renderings I did of guys I work with.
Uh-huh.
All the proceeds went to the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And if I do, which I hope to, have another art auction, I would like to give a good percentage to the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation as well.
I've heard about the success of his art auction, and it sounds like it's a great idea. And I think JDRF can actually even help him promote the art auction, and we can be a good team together that way.
Not bad.
Into the tree, I think, huh? Oh, that's a good one.
Shy, though.
Right. Agree. Woo. That rain feels good, doesn't it?
It does, actually.
Ooh. Oh, I ended on a good one. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Very productive meeting.
I enjoyed it.
There's nothing like meeting over golf.
JDRF, I mean, we can use your help just by other people knowing we're involved with you. That could lead to other things, local businesses in the area and businesses around the country, everything, you know.
No. Any way, shape, or form, yeah. We can kind of, you know, get together and really raise funds to the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation is perfect. It's always fun to get out on the links, even though, I mean, I hit probably the worst game of my life. It's still better than the best day at work.
Well, the sun comes out right after the 18th.
Of course, yeah, huh? Now it's going to get beautiful.
God has a sense of humor.
Yeah. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah, this is looking good.
This is bothering me. I want to get this out of here. But
can you just cut it and flip it?
See, I want to take it off maybe like something like here and just do something in here for the seat. Just this part here. I'll tie this back in, leave this go. This morning we started working back on the Siemens bike. What I want to do first really is jump right back to the rear fender section just to give us more room because I think this is going to bump us up too far.
Yeah, I think so too.
I changed a little bit where the seat area is going to go, so I've got that figured out now. Turn the seat back. So I'm going to start making the sheet metal for that, and I'll make the seat pan and get all the stuff squared away.
Basically, what I'm going to do is whatever the projection of your seat pan going up through there.
Right.
And I'm just going to cut it right through.
Oh, that's
draft it right through, and then the fiberglass will drop out. Now that Rick's framed out the seat, fender, and sides, I can get the measurements I need to begin the wood mold for the fiberglass top piece. Since the top needs to be removable, fiberglass will be the toughest lightweight material we could use for the job.
These are just about square.
I use the metal skeleton as the basic shape, and then work off of that as a template for the rest of the form.
Okay.
Pretty much the whole bike's, you know, it is like one giant puzzle. I'm just kind of a lot of different pieces and just, you know, piecing everything together. And it's probably one of the most covered sheet metal bikes that we've ever really done. We've done a lot of other bikes, you know, with a lot of sheet metal to them, but this one's just like very covered with it.
This bike belongs on a cover of Popular Mechanics.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, it should be.
Without a doubt.
I told him.
The other one, too, the Chesapeake Energy should have, too.
But this thing's crazy. This looks like Mad Max.
This thing's awesome.
Uh-huh. Right? This looks like a Mad Max bike. We've made a lot of bikes over the years, but nothing like this one. I don't really mind that it's taken so long to build, because who knows, this might be the future.
Miguel, hey, what you got there?
Just trying to get the skimming started.
Are you stocking it with fish?
Yeah, fish and apparently golf balls.
You know, Paulie's kind of been in the post-OCC world a few months longer than I have, and he is definitely a little more motivated, especially when it comes to business and earning some money. And I kind of got to get on board, because if I don't earn money, then I'll be out in the street. So in the meantime, you know, I'm just kind of looking for some big brother advice, and hopefully it'll lead to, you know, earning a living.
So what's going on?
I got to get management. I don't know how to go about it.
I agree. I think you do, too.
I don't know where to start.
I think you do, too, yes. I think that's a smart move. You know, I think Michael realizing that he needs a manager or he needs someone to kind of coordinate things is good to hear that, because it shows that he really wants to do it.
What I want to do is I want to try to sell some of my artwork. I enjoy the hell out of it. Good. And I would like to try to market that in some way, shape, or form. Maybe sell a bunch of prints, or maybe get them made into T-shirts if they're popular enough after the prints come out. And, of course, a certain percentage of the proceeds will go to the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation.
That's good. I like that. I don't know that I could help you necessarily find a manager, but I think I could definitely
help
guide you in the right direction. Yeah, because, listen, I don't want to be your manager. Obviously, that's not going to work. But I could just be your older brother and try and guide you. Look, I'm learning a lot of new things as of recently anyway. You know, I think Michael definitely needs management. I think the nice thing about that is, you know, it'll give him an opportunity to do what he does best, which is really be Michael, on top of the fact that he has this new inspiration to do paintings. I think if someone could manage that, it'll be wildly successful. I think us sticking together as brothers is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think it could be good for both of us. Tim manages me, but at the end of the day, if there's a request for both of us, I'm going to let you know. How's that work?
That works great. You know, my brother has a manager, and apparently they have a really good rapport, and he's gotten Paul some good work, appearances, and various different business opportunities, and I think that would just work perfectly for me if I could only find a good one like he did.
I'll keep you in the loop. I'm going to try and help you out any way I can.
Good.
All right?
So I'm loopy.
We brought you a windmill.
You guys came up to my cabin today. I have a pond up here, and seeing that we're doing all this energy efficient stuff, I thought that a windmill would be a good idea for my pond to put the aerators in it.
I would say these go on first.
It keeps oxygen in the water, and it's good for the fish.
I'll take the weight off of it. Does that help?
Yep. Where did them freaking flat things go, man?
You know, the assembly wasn't too hard. Without ever doing it before, you're kind of guessing, but it goes together, you know, just like a windmill.
Bring it to me.
Better be windy when we're done, Paul.
If not, we'll make wind. All right, now spin it, Ronnie. Watch out. All right, run right into it.
All right, so what we have to do is we got to pick the thing up.
You ready?
Line the video.
Two, three. Go.
Ooh.
Come on!
Walk it up.
Watch the blades, watch the blades.
On what?
What do you want me to do?
Your heads.
I expected it to be a lot heavier than it was.
Push it.
All right, don't let it rock.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready for my MRI now.
It's working.
It's working.
Here, somebody see if there's air coming out of the hole.
Look at that, huh?
Here we go.
We got to square
it
off.
Cool.
Heck yeah. Big task today was Tighten them down.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way. What are you talking about?
Hit it like a man.
I just hit that one. I don't know if they're doing a joyride. You gotta hit it. I will. I gotta get it started. You don't just hold the nail.
You gotta swing it solid, dog.
Can't even see the damn thing, Mr. Karate Guy.
Karate Guy.
Yeah, so me and Senior went tit for tat on the sledgehammers today.
Right, dude. Mr. Miyagi and his blind brother.
And I'm pretty sure he's going to have a sore back tomorrow morning if he decides to get up at all.
I'm going to hear it tonight, that's for sure.
You guys are good.
You'll be walking on his back.
I'll be walking on his back.
I don't think you've hit since. There you go.
Now that we got the windmill all together, my next job is going to be to go out there and place the aerator stones in the bottom of the pond, hopefully around the deepest spot.
Jim, you getting ready, dude?
You bet.
All right, I got to go get my shorts on then, right?
I brought the scuba gear up, going to suit up pretty soon and take the stones down and see if we can place them.
As soon as we got the aerators in the water, the wind stopped. So Jim had to go up there and spin the windmill just to get it to see if it was working.
That's awesome.
I thought we did pretty good. We did it in 2.5 hours. The book says 5 to 6, so we're good.
Oh, there's one, Bubbles. You see it?
We're on the right.
To the right.
Bubbles to the right.
One right in front of you. There we go. We got Bubbles.
Operation Windmill is complete success.
All right, Rick.
Hey, boss.
What's so funny about that?
I came in this morning just to get started working on the Siemens electric bike. And I guess the guys came in over the weekend just to get everything started. The frame was in place, and the batteries were already in and all connected. The motor was in, everything was connected, and even the LED lights were in. Which is really good, because we have a tight deadline on the bike, and there's still a lot of work to do. How'd the top, the shell part come out?
It's looking good so far. We got the holes drilled for it. I have those extra flange pieces that you wanted to go on the inside on my desk. Because we never got so far on this as to put it on.
You know, everybody's been working really hard on this thing. There's a lot of different people working on a lot of different parts of this bike. It's just nice to see the whole thing coming together so quickly.
Roll it around that one just to be sure.
Do I have to?
Yes. You want to put gloves on?
I don't want to get greasy, I can tell you that. Looks good to me here, Jim.
Got clearance.
Yep, got clearance. And it don't rub it or nothing like that. And it feels like it's hitting them all right.
I'm really excited to see all this coming together so well. I've been wanting to do a project like this for a long time, and it's coming out even better than I'd hoped.
Okay. Good enough. I think for the most part, we're doing good. You know, I think we should be able to finish up all the electrical stuff tomorrow and get it up and running.
Doesn't look bad. Good.
It is good.
How are you making out, Rick?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Got the rotors and calipers all lined up?
Yeah, that's all squared away.
How was that? A pain in the ass or was it okay?
No, it was extremely pain in the butt.
This is the last day on a Siemens bike, and this here project is a little bit above my head. Even so, I think that, you know, I need to know basically where we're at and kind of which direction that we're going in from time to time for two reasons, just to see how things are going, and secondly is the time frame that we have is moving in on us, so that bike has to be done today and unveiled tomorrow.
We're getting there, though.
Yeah, I see that.
We'll be able to turn it on, I think. Right there is beautiful, Christian. I got to
turn it on. Let's get the throttle going. Check LEDs first. Are they not hooked up yet?
Yeah, check the LEDs. They should work.
Sweet! All right, one down.
Very one good. Down, very good. Okay.
Here's some gas.
Nothing blew up.
Oh, yeah, look at that thing go.
All right, hold on. You had an LED light here, though. Green. Red. We got to look into the, we got to do some information on this. Troubleshooting. Error message 10. Jim, you know what we got to do?
Yeah.
We got to hook up a computer.
You know, we're just about ready to fire this thing up. The first time we actually put power to the controller, we got a little bit of an issue where something in our contactor isn't wired correctly and it's not drawn in. Cannot locate motor controller. Yeah, hi, this is Jim Quinn from Orange County Chapter. Put in a call to the controller manufacturer, Alltrax. Hopefully they can talk us through it, and we'll be going again.
What's going on here? Oh, we just got a diode in wrong. It's a big
diode,
right?
I have the diode hooked up to itself.
I think at this point we're having some technical difficulties, which is not really a good time to have them.
That. You just...
I'm getting
jacked.
That's
man.
Off.
No, I just got a severe shock, dude.
Kind of reminds me of the old days, last minute stuff. It's not too good, especially if we can't get that motor running for tomorrow, especially the way they got everything set up. If push comes to shove, somebody will be pushing the bike. But I think that no matter what, these guys, they'll get to the bottom of it, and we'll figure it out. We don't have a choice.
I'm going to just touch these.
Okay. We can't jump around that micro switch. That was the two ends of the micro switch.
I'm completely blind.
What's wrong with you?
I'm melted.
There ain't no dead short in it, I can tell you that. Well, we found out that the micro switch and the pod switch went bad. So Jim's talking to the person that designed some of these controls and trying to help us out. And he said that we had to try to bypass this switch. So we bypassed it, and the only way to bypass it, I was going to just put a jumper terminal in it. Well, my concern was if it got hooked together and latched and burned together, how was we going to shut this thing down? I found out by burning these off.
Yeah, we welded our two terminals.
You ain't never got flash burned like that, man. Never. As long as we didn't burn too many wires up after that last little episode, we'll get it. We're not done yet. You know what? Why am I like deja vuing over here right now?
Just you look the other way.
I hope that wheel turns.
Yeah! Backwards! All right.
Listen. I'll go backwards.
Let's switch that right now before anything gets hot.
Right. Swap S1 and S2.
They got it going now, but it's in reverse, which is good news because basically all they got to do is switch the wires. But it's not really as simple as that because they have to pull all the wires off and have to redo the ends and stuff like that.
Did you just get bit?
Because that's still live, man.
What did you get bit by?
Oh, my God. I just went between these two terminals here. Holy.
Really? How the hell's that live?
This is enough.
You know, if it was the old days and I was depending on Paulie to get the job done, I'd be a lot more nervous than I am now. I got guys on there that are definitely dedicated. For them, failure's not an option. They put a lot of time into this, and they're not going to quit until that thing's running, and that thing will be running before we get out of here today.
And? Break.
Cool.
The last few things we have to button up, some cosmetic details. We're getting the front fender on. We have the fiberglass cowling, which essentially would be your gas tank, that'll cover up all the electronics. We got to get that fit, and then it's get it cleaned up and ready to go to the unveil.
Those guys finished the bike, and basically I wanted to give the old test ride. Totally different. I never rode a bike that was automatic and didn't have an exhaust on it. The bike was unbelievable. I mean, I never could imagine that you could build a bike so cool with that kind of speed and just run on batteries. I think that it's going to blow Siemens' mind because I don't think they have any kind of inclination what the bike looks like. I just think that it was a great opportunity that Siemens gave us to do something like this because it was probably one of the most tricked out things that we've done.
Where's the bike? Ready?
Straight back, looking good.
We're down here in New York City getting ready to unveil the bike. Of course, it was a last-minute deal, but they finally got it.
You got to turn the lights on, too, right?
You're active.
All in all, it's been a great experience, totally different, and really looking forward to unveil the bike.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here in New York. We're going to have a fun event here this morning. Well, today we're having a very exciting event, unveiling a motorcycle that's built by Orange County Choppers crew that will reflect Siemens' commitment to a sustainable planet. It's an exciting bike with a lot of technology. I've heard a lot about it, and I can't wait to see it. We're here today after a few months of Siemens and Orange County Choppers working together to come up with the Siemens Eco Bike. And here comes Paul Sr. on the Siemens Eco Bike.
This bike, honestly, was probably one of the biggest challenges that we've had so far. The technology into this bike is very, very advanced. And the bike, I mean, the bike just looks like a bike of the future. But one thing is that what people probably don't know is this bike will do 100 miles an hour plus. So it gets it, you know. I'm going to hand it over to Jim, who's our engineer. Great. And knows a hell of a lot more than I do.
Yeah, okay, great.
You know, since Junior and Mikey have left the shop, I've been doing a lot of unveils by myself. But, you know, I'm also lucky to have guys like Jim Quinn to rely on in the shop and also as a spokesman who knows the bikes inside out.
We got a charging system. What we did with this bike is that it's kind of user-friendly. It's a 72-volt battery system, but we do have an onboard charger here. You can plug this into any household outlet, any outlet you can find. You know, probably for about 3 years now, I've been pushing to do an all-electric bike, and we finally did it. It feels really good. You know, this thing is a performance machine. There's a lot of electric bikes out in the market, you know, more like a scooter. But this is every bit an Orange County chopper with an electric motor and batteries and no gas engine. So really proud of the whole accomplishment.
Well, it's fantastic. Paul, you and your crew have really outdone yourselves. Well, what a great event. I mean, the crowd was exciting. It's a fantastic bike, and it's hard to top this right now. A one-of-a-kind vehicle in the world. Eco-friendly, all-electric, great performance. It's a blast. It's exciting. Paul, thanks very much for this wonderful machine. Well done.